Psalm chapter 118. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, because His mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that His mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that His mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that His mercy endureth forever. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? I want to preach this morning and this evening, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. The Psalms contain an inspired collection of songs and poetry unequaled for their beauty. And I especially love the Psalms because there's an abundance of joy, of thanksgiving and praise that permeates the prayers and the songs of the psalmist. It's a spiritual feast that we can feast on and drink in these rich at the rich and bountiful table that the Psalms provides us. Now, many believe that Psalm 118 was the hymn chosen by the Lord Jesus to sing in the midst of the church on the eve of His death. It's recorded in a messianic psalm that He sang in the midst of the congregation, and it's alluded to also in Hebrews and in the Gospels. So, many believe that this is the very hymn of thanksgiving that was sung that night. This psalm, if you read it through, is a song of deliverance, of victory, and thanksgiving for the mercy of the Lord. And as we look at this psalm, I encourage you, when you go to the Word of God, make it personal. See how you can make personal application, how you can identify with the Word, the inspired Word of God. Apply it to your life. And I call upon you, this is the true holiday. The one true holiday that we ought to be celebrating with every fiber of our being, giving thanks to God. And it shouldn't just be one day out of the year. It ought to be something that marks our lives each and every day. And I fear that it's being lost, this sense of gratitude, of thankfulness to Almighty God, for the way that He provides, the way He protects, the way He watches over, the goodness, the grace, the mercy that permeates all of life. It ought to be something that motivates us to praise the Lord. I'll tell you, if you've got an attitude of thanksgiving, you won't complain near as much. You won't bellyache about your circumstances. You won't be filled with jealousy over what somebody else has and you don't. You won't be envious or prideful. You'll be content and thankful for what God has done in your life. Now, today we're going to cover the theme of this psalm. And I think it's set forth pretty clearly in verse 1 and in verse 28 and 29. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, because His mercy endureth forever. Verse 28, he makes it personal. Thou art my God, and I will praise Thee. Thou art my God, and I will exalt Thee. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. This psalm begins and ends with a joyous command that should not be hard for any of the children of God to obey. Give thanks unto the Lord. Praise our God, our great God, the Almighty, the Sovereign, the Creator of the ends of the earth, the One who designed and brought forth the only way that sinners can be saved through the work of His Son. Give thanks unto the Lord and praise His holy name. Are you discouraged today? Are you troubled about things? You got sin in your life? Get it out and praise the Lord. Give thanks unto the Lord. I really believe that there's probably not a better tonic for the soul of man in every circumstance of life than to offer thanksgiving unto the Lord for what He has done and praise Him for who He is. Next time you get really down in the mully grubs and get discouraged and despairing, just start thanking God for everything He's done in your life. Thank God for the blessings that He's bestowed on you that you're unworthy of. You know, you look in the Psalms, and this is a constant theme. Turn over to Psalm 145. Verse 1, I will extol Thee, my God, O King, and I will bless Thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless Thee, and I will praise Thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. What would happen if this attitude were practiced by God's children each and every day of the year? That we would make this resolution that David did. I like resolutions. I like when the writer of the Psalms often says, I'm going to do this because it's right. It puts good pressure on you. He says, every day will I bless thee. How about let's start to do that every day? How about every single day you start to bless the Lord, thank the Lord, think about all that God, who He is, what He means to you, what He's done for you, how He's helped you, how He's strengthened you. If you start living like that, you'll stop being so miserable and so worrisome and fretful and complaining and groaning and muttering, because your mouth will be filled with thanksgiving. You see, the reason why I preach against all that stuff, because it affects all of us. We got an old nature that loves sin and bitterness and wrath and anger and malice and envy and jealousy. It's that old nature feeds on all of that junk. You got to kill it. You got to mortify it. And one of the best ways to do it is to start blessing God, blessing the name of the Lord, and thanking Him in every circumstance of life. Look over at Psalm 147. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and praise is comely. How about that? Even when I'm singing, it's pleasant. If your heart's right and you're singing praise unto the Lord, it says it's good to sing praises. It's pleasant. Praise is comely, meaning that it's something that's beautiful. Shouldn't we strive for that? To honor our God by doing something that He considers to be beautiful? We are to give thanks for the goodness of God. He says there in Psalm 118, verse 1, "O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good." You know, there's a, I guess it's kind of a popular saying that's going around. And it's been this way for a couple years now. I've noticed when things go really bad, somebody will inevitably say, "God is good." And then they'll say, "all the time." You've seen that written, right? I believe that. And you know what? He's good whether you declare Him as such or not. He doesn't need your approval. He is intrinsically good. He's never had a bad thought. He's never done a bad deed. God is holy and righteous and just. And He is good. We're to give thanks for the goodness of God. The goodness of God is manifest in a variety of ways in all of our lives. He's given us health, breath, provisions, protections, friends, family, church, salvation, and on and on and on we could go. We could fill our day with praise and thanksgiving for the goodness of Almighty God. And He does that. The goodness of God is extended to everybody throughout all the world. So what do you mean? Even the heathen? Well, the sun rises on the just and the unjust. He gives them seasons to grow. He gives them measures of health. You see, you want to bring it down to the lowest, very lowest common denominator. You're not dead and in hell right now. That's what you deserve. That's what everybody in all the world deserves. But He's given us life and breath and all things. He causes the sun to shine. He enables us to enjoy the glories of His creation. And even eat the fruit of the ground. When He brings the rain and brings the harvest, you ought to be thanking God all the time. Because He's good. He's good overall. In fact, the Bible says that in Psalm 145 and verse 9. It says, "The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works." He is good to all. Spurgeon said, "Have we been of a forgetful or murmuring spirit? Heed our text. Cease your complainings. Cease from all self-glorification and give thanks unto the Lord. For He is good." You can make this personal. I've told you, I thank God every day for my parents. I am thankful for the family I was born in, with all of our flaws. I love my mother. So thankful for the things she instilled in my life. And I love my dad. And I hate to see him when he gets injured and I can't be there all the time. Don't undervalue your parents and your grandparents. Thank God for them. Thank God for who He has given you. to mold, to shape, to strengthen, and to help you. What a blessing from the Lord. Be thankful for your family. Be thankful for the way that God's taken care of you. I look at my life and I see how God has intervened so many times and given me just exactly what I needed, just at the right time, and the encouragement that He's provided. All you got to do is start opening your eyes, making this personal. See what God has done for you in such a mighty, powerful, miraculous way. And offer praise. You know what? Complaining all the time never gets you anywhere. Being unthankful, joyless, that's misery. I don't want to live my life that way. Now, those who are unthankful are really focused on themselves and on covetousness and on viewing what others may have and they don't and getting bitter about it. That's a terrible way to live your life. But unfortunately, that's a lot of what the trap that our society has set. You think about it, most people are discontent. An overwhelming majority of people this week will not offer one word of thanks to God. Even though we've actually named it Thanksgiving. Oh, how we ought to be less focused on ourselves and more on the grace and mercy of God and His manifold goodness. You realize that if you're unthankful, that's the mark of somebody who's without spiritual discernment. Somebody who can't see things clearly. Who doesn't judge things right. And in a society that's given over to that kind of attitude, it's a mark of reprobation. Look over at Romans chapter 1. This is one of the most scathing chapters in all the Bible, as it shows how God gives up a people who don't regard Him as Creator and Redeemer and Sovereign and Almighty. It says here in Romans chapter 1 and verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them." You have to be willingly blind not to see the goodness of God over all of His creation. "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen." What's one of the marks of our society? And our world, people who pull levers of power, people who are influential on social media, in the media, throughout the world, politically. What one thing marks nearly 95% of them? They don't believe God is a creator. They do not give Him His due as the one who brought this world into existence. You say, "Preacher, I'm tired of it. You preach on this more than any. I know I do." I'll tell you why. Because I'm sick and tired of weak preachers who will not give God the glory as the Creator. He is the Almighty. He did speak this world into existence. He upholds all things by the word of His power. And you deny that, you are denying one of the most fundamental teachings of the Word of God. An overwhelming majority in our world don't believe a word of what I just said. They're evolutionists. They've changed the truth of God into a lie. Evolution is a lie. It's dead wrong. It says this: for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Folks, you realize what a charge He's bringing against people who deny that He's the Creator? You realize what He's saying to them? You are without excuse. You may deny it. You may say that it's wrong. You may spread lies about it. But you're without excuse. Judgment's coming. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Now notice something here. And this is one of the reasons why I preach against evolution and why I'm pro-creation. Because if you don't believe God is the Creator, you are not going to be thankful. You're not going to see His hand. You're not going to give thanks for the One who rules over all. And notice what it says. It's linked to this. You deny God's creatorial power, His government among men, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but were vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And they began to worship idols. See, that's, you deny God as a creator. You're making an idol out of man's philosophy and wisdom. And you're worshiping at the altar of paganism by denying God as the creator. You know what? It's a mark of the last days. This is why I hate the spirit of ingratitude. I hate somebody who is constantly murmuring. Well, I don't hate them. That didn't come out right. Forgive me for saying that the way that came out right. Sorry about that, Phil. I didn't mean to say it like that. What I hate is this attitude that people have. I hate it in me. Look what it says. It's a mark of the last days. 2 Timothy chapter 3. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, selfishness, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. All these things go together. The spirit of unthankfulness is a rejection of God's mercies, and it's the hideous mark of the last days when men are rebelling against God. So we're to give God thanks for His goodness. A good exercise might be for you to start maybe writing down some of the ways God's been good to you. Why don't you start with the measure of health you have? In all probability, most of you have had more good days than bad days. Next, why don't you start thanking God, not just for your health, but for the people that He's brought into your life. Thank God for His goodness. I'm so thankful for my family, for my friends, for this church, for people that I know and love, that churches I've preached in all through this country. I am so thankful for the people God has allowed me to interact with, and the fact that people love me in spite of me. It's just an amazing thing. And it really makes me thankful. Why don't you start thanking God for the clothes on your back, for the food in your belly, for the ability to work, eat, digest your food, speak intelligently. Not everybody can do that, but for the most part, He's given us all these things. And then, let's get into the next thing. Give thanks unto the Lord, that's the theme. And offer praise for His mercy. Look what it says there in Psalm 118, "For He is good, because His mercy endureth forever." And then he goes on, verse 2, 3, and 4, he repeats this refrain, "For His mercy endureth forever." It's eternal. It's never ending. And only those who have experienced the bounties of God's mercy can truly praise His holy name in this respect. When I consider my former estate, my sinful and rebellious condition, my ungodliness, my immorality, my sin from top to bottom, how unacceptable I was, how repulsive I was, what a stench in the nostrils of God my life was. It amazes me that He reached down in the miry pit that I had dug of my own making, and He reached down and brought me out, set my feet upon the rock, and established my goings. He rescued me. He saved me from a life of depravity and degradation and ultimately damnation. Because that's exactly what I deserve. Because of who I am by nature and what I was. But His mercy did not judge me. Rather, He saved me. If you can say that today, you shouldn't complain about another thing the rest of your days. You shouldn't despise if you don't have this blessing or that blessing. You've got the greatest one of all. If you're saved by the grace of God. If you are loved with an everlasting love, if this mercy endures forever toward you, if you've been redeemed by the blood of the everlasting covenant, the work of Jesus Christ, His death, His burial, His resurrection, every day your mouth ought to be filled with praise. Every day you ought to be thankful. I deserve to be punished eternally for my sins. But Jesus is my intercessor. He is the one that interposed Himself as a propitiation. The wrath fell on Him. And so it'll never fall on me. My sins were charged to Him. And in return, He gave me His righteousness. Praise His holy name. For His mercy endureth forever. He suffered for me so that I'll never suffer an eternity in the lake of fire. He suffered so that I may have eternal joy in the presence of the everlasting God. Now unto Him, I almost quoted Jude 25 when I, in my mind, I wanted to go to, no, Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, where Paul contrasts what we were before, hateful and hating one another. And then he says, but after that, the kindness of God our Savior appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, hath He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. God loved me with an everlasting love, and it was the eternal mercy of Christ that prompted Him to go to die on that cross of cursing for our sins. And it's the mercy of the Holy Spirit who raised us up out of death and darkness to bring us to light and life. I've given you plenty right there in just one verse. Now, you realize there's 29 verses. I'm not going to do a full and thorough exposition of every verse, because it may take me as long as it did Psalm 104, the creation psalm. But I wonder today, how thankful are you? How glorious. Look at verse 28, and we're going to close with this one. And I mean it. He says, Thou art my God. Thou art my God. I can say that to the one who owns everything and who loves me in spite of me. Thou art my God. And I know that You'll never leave me nor forsake me. You're the true and living God. And I will praise Thee. Thou art my God. And I will exalt Thee. What a reason to thank God and praise God for. He's not a God who is afar off, who can't hear, who can't help, who can't see what we're going through in times of trouble and distress. He is our God. We are owned and governed by Him. We are the sons and the daughters of God. We can call Him Holy Father, and know that He cares for us as His children. Do you know Him today? Is He your God? Jesus said in John 17:3, the way God is known is through His Son, Jesus Christ. He is the Word who expresses God and His salvation. I hope you know Him. I hope you're trusting Him. Let's all stand. Page number 8.